Oh, wasn't that wonderful? You know, worship just creates such a powerful atmosphere for us to really hear from the Lord. Earlier in the week, I heard a prophetic call from the Lord for us, for the body of Christ to examine. And turn with me to Colossians 4:17. What I heard from the Lord in part was that the body really doesn't know what we're called to do. We don't know who we are, what He's called us to do. We don't know our placement in the kingdom. And that's a very dangerous thing, because if we don't know our right and proper placement, then we're not following vision. We're not in right alignment. And so this is what I really heard as a prophetic call from the Lord, a question. The question that I heard from the Lord was, what is the scope of your assignment? What is the scope of your assignment? And in Colossians 4:17, it says, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, to see that thou fulfill it. And so, Father, tonight, I thank You that Your Word is going to bear witness with our spirit. The Spirit Himself is going to bear witness with the Word of the Lord. And I just believe, Lord, with all my heart, that You've prepared the table for us to come and feast. And so, Father, we ask You to come and teach. We ask You, Lord, to use this weak and frail, empty vessel for Your glory. And God, for Your kingdom to shine through. What I've learned by experience is when you begin to understand who you are in Jesus, there is going to be a thing that the Bible calls sudden fear, a spirit of sudden fear that's going to rise up its head to try to knock your feet out from under you. And when you're going through a season of establishment where the Lord is planting you, your feet are being planted, the enemy is going to be right there to meet you with that spirit of sudden fear. And so that's one thing that we must really guard against while we are finding the scope of our assignment. Because this is going to be a season of learning who we are. It's learning what God's called us to walk in and where our placement is in the kingdom. I believe part of this process and part of this kingdom is, we're just in a time of shaking like never before. There are things that are being shaken, and it's for the purpose that the gold be left. After the shaking, the gold will be left. And so it's really a time of refining. And as we go into the upward call of God, as we rise up, the higher you go, the shorter the cycles are in your life and in your ministry. And there are four D's that are associated with this cycle. And I think it'd be wise to write them down. When you're in these cycles of the Lord, it's not that you're going in circles, but that you're going in cycles. You're growing through the cycle of the Lord. The first stage that you're going to come to in this season of learning and discovering who we are, it's going to be the dream stage. And this is the time when God's just birthing this in your spirit of what He's called you to do, and you have a holy infatuation with all that He's entailed. It's like when you begin to walk in the prophetic ministry, you just can't get enough of it. Or if God's called you to walk in counseling, a spirit of counsel, or deliverance ministry, or evangelism, no matter what you do, you're just not satisfied with this little bit that we get. You want it all. And so there's this holy infatuation in the season and in the cycle of the dream stage. The next thing that's going to pop its head up is going to be the disappointment, the time of disappointment. And this is a cycle, part of the cycle, where you're really going to be tried. You're going to be tried and you're going to be stretched. It comes to test you. Time of disappointment comes to test you. And through the time of, so with the second part of the cycle, through this time of disappointment, there comes the time of development of character. And here, it's a time of proving. And what I believe it really is a time of proving is God saying, can I trust you with the small things? Can I trust you with this small thing? Because you've just gone through this season of disappointment because things don't look as you thought they were going to look. And so that takes you to this development of character where you're proving who you are in your heart. And you're standing faithfully before the Lord with the small thing in order for the fourth part of the stage to come about, which is the demonstration. It's when you get to walk in the gifting of God. And that comes by the divine appointment of the Lord. By the time, it's really an awesome thing, because by the time you reach the cycle of, in this part of the cycle of demonstration, you have begun again in the cycle of the dream. We all should be constantly growing. We should be all in constant cycles, going up into the higher call of God. And there was a word that I heard last Friday as I was coming to minister at noonday. And some of you heard me to release that. I wanted to teach a little bit. I felt led of the Lord to teach a little bit on what I heard. As I was driving here from the oil company, I got to about McDonald's, I think, and I heard the Lord say, mount up, gird up, so you can come up. And I kind of began to argue with the Lord, because I was saying, Lord, surely you mean gird up, then mount up, so you can come up. And that's not at all what the Lord said. What I heard Him say was, mount up, gird up, so you can come up. And what the Lord just revealed to me was, as you've mounted up, you're in proper place for Him to gird you up. He's the one who's doing the girding up to equip you to come up. And we were talking a little bit about this Monday night at the Lighthouse. And I did not know that Bishop had been talking a lot about coming up. And so the scripture that God gave me is the same one that he's been using, is the Revelation 4:1. But let's start with the mount up and look in Isaiah 40. This mic is so loud, isn't it? I can probably drop this down a little bit so you don't have to... Let's try that. I think that I dropped it down a little bit. So Isaiah 40. And these are going to be scriptures that we all are very familiar with and know. Just as you're flipping, this is a side note. I was talking with a friend of mine this week on the phone, and he was telling me that he was listening to Christian radio, and they said something against the things of the Spirit. And so he reached up there and turned it. And I thought to myself, is that not just the perfect thing to do? Because what's wrong with us that we sit and we entertain the channel of the enemy? When the enemy starts feeding us all this junk and mess, why don't we just turn the channel? Why don't we reach up, grab the knob, and turn the channel? And turn in and tune in to the channel of Jesus, to the Word of the Lord and the truth of the Spirit. So, as you hear those things, you hear the lies, you hear the darts from the enemy, turn the channel. Don't listen to the mess. Let's mount up. In Isaiah 40, 29 through 31, it says, He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, I believe it's really important to see that all God's calling you to do in Isaiah 40 is just mount up. He didn't tell you to fly. You see that? All that the Lord's called you to do is mount up. It's preparing for what's ahead. And see, I believe by what the word that the Lord gave me about the coming up, I believe He's the one that's going to take us flying. So the Spirit of the Lord says, just mount up. And then the next thing is to gird up. And just the next, to the right, the next book in the Bible, Jeremiah 1, verse 17. It says, Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. And then look in Ephesians 6, 14. It reads almost very similar. It says, Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And then in 1 Peter 1, 13. It says, Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for your grace, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if you all have been in bishop's studies, then you're going to be very familiar with the come up. In Revelation 4:1, it says, After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard were as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. That verse 2 says, And immediately I was in the Spirit. And so, God said, Do it in this order. To mount up, to gird up, so that you can come up. And I think that's a lot of times we struggle with why we cannot get into the glory, why we don't sense the glory of God. But you know, our God is a God of order. And He's very strategic about things. And I really believe that the word for me, I'm just testifying to what Jesus has spoken to me. The word for me, in order to come up, I first got to mount up and then let Him gird me up so that I can come up. And I believe that the way that the Lord has spoken this, I believe that there is a destination at the end of the invitation. The come up is an invitation, right? And so, at the end of the word, there's a destination. There's a place we'll meet. And I had a dream last night about this word, and God confirmed it for me. And I had a glimpse into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And this is what the Lord has given me a little bit tonight about the table of the Lord. And I got here tonight, and I did not set this up, this table that I don't know who did or anything, but it was here when I got here. And so I was kind of struggling back and forth, just wanting to really hear clearly from the Lord that this is what He wanted spoken. And I believe this is exactly where we need to be. But there are real problems that arise in life. And the thing about it is, what I see and what it breaks my heart is that I see people who are letting those problems dominate them. And they may exist, the problems may exist, but I tell you, they are not to dominate you. Did you know that people want to get results without doing what the Word of the Lord says? They want the results of the Bible without doing what the Bible says. Well, I don't think it works like that. If you want to live in peace, then you've got to do what the Word says. And if we want Philippians 4:7, then we've got to do what Philippians 4:6 says first. It says, in verse 6, it says, Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. See, everybody wants verse 7, but nobody wants to do verse 6. If you do what verse 6 says, you're going to enjoy the benefits of verse 7. You see, the peace of God passes human understanding. God's peace is sort of like the anointing. You can't explain it in human terms. And you may not know what it is, but you do know what it's not. I'm telling you, I'd rather have peace in my life than to have worry and pressure and mental anxiety any day of the week. Now, most Christians are very familiar with Psalm 23 and can quote it verbatim. But I believe we've fallen into a pit when it comes to this psalm because we see it as beautiful poetry. And it is very poetic, but it's also very prophetic. And so, I believe that we've lost the true value of this psalm, of this word from the Lord. And that's what we're kind of going to look at tonight. It's more than poetry. It's inspired by the Spirit of God. It is alive. It's living. It's speaking. This word is functioning. Psalm 23:1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now John 10:11 and 14 says that Jesus is the good shepherd. And so if Jesus is your Lord, your good shepherd, then Psalm 23 belongs to you as a believer. And receiving the revelation of this psalm is going to bring peace into your life. It's going to help rid you of the worry, anxiety, and fear. Hear this like you've never heard it before. Hear this word from God like you've never experienced it before. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, because Jesus is your good shepherd, He is your shepherd, He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Now some may say, I'm still having problems, and I believe that the problem is you've got your attention on the wrong place. Because the Bible says that He has prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. See, the problem is my eyes, my attention, and my focus is still on the enemy instead of on the table of the Lord. The table that He's prepared before me and that He has set before me. The enemy's real. There's no doubt about it. And the problems may be real, but in the presence of our enemies, Jesus has set a table. Now, I want to tell you something. The enemy is not invited to the table of the Lord, but you are. You are invited to the table of the Lord. So the problem is that many are focused in on the enemy and the activity of the enemy to the point that they don't see the one who has prepared the table for them. They don't see Jesus. And more importantly, not just the table that He's prepared, but they don't see the host at the table. Jesus is your host. We used to sing the old song, "Come and Dine." Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. We should sing that, and that's the invitation of the Lord to you. Come and dine. Come and sit at my table and feast with me. I believe that the invitation of the Lord, as He calls you to His table, is to quit looking at the enemy. Because he's behind you and he's under Jesus' feet. And so, the Word of the Lord is just scoot up to the table. Scoot up to the table. Well, what's on the table of the Lord, guys? Anything and everything you may ever need. What's on the table? Anything and everything you need. That is glorious. You may say, yeah, but the devil's still there. Yeah, he is. But he can't do a thing. You just sit down at the Father's table and you don't even be concerned about the enemy. Now, Satan may try to cause you to pay attention to him. He may try to get very vocal so that you listen to his voice. But if you'll just ignore him, if you will get to the table of the Lord and so focus in on your host, I promise you that the voice of the enemy will be silenced. There is a place in Jesus that you can come to where you do not listen and you do not hearken to the voice of the enemy, to the tempter of your soul, to where you only hear the voice of Jesus and follow Him. And I know that the enemy's there. The Bible says he is. But in the presence of Him, in the presence of our enemies, the Lord has prepared us a table. And so, turn your head. You turn your head away from the enemy and look to the table of the Lord. He already has it spread. You know, there's an amazing thing. Is talking about what's on the table of the Lord. This kind of birthed out of a vision that the Lord gave me of the table. Probably, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago. And I went for months just talking about the table of the Lord because it just really was that powerful for me. But the table of the Lord is full of splendor. I tell you, there is no lack at all on the table of the Lord. And that may be the place that you are in. You may need, and you may should seek of the Lord proper vision of His table. To see a true picture of the table of the Lord. It's okay to ask Him for that. And to ask Him to give you correct vision of the table of God. And so, all that we need is already on the table. Jesus doesn't have to go out and fetch bread for us to come and eat and come and feast. It's already there. The Bible says that healing is the children's bread. So, are you a child of God? Yes. Then healing belongs to you. It's on the table of the Lord. You say, well, I've not experienced that. I don't have my healing. I don't have the healing of God. Well, I believe that at the table of the Lord, you have to pick something up. I believe that He has prepared it all, and I believe it is our job to receive it. Our calling to receive it. If you come to my house and you're my friend, you're my intimate friend, I'm going to set my table and you'll serve yourself. And if you say, well, Jed, why didn't you give me any bread? I will look at you and I'll tell you it's your own fault because there was bread in the basket. And so, what I'm saying is, at the table of the Lord, just reach up and get it. He's already cleared the way for you. Just reach out get what you need from the table. And so not only healing, but I tell you, there is supreme victory at the table of the Lord. There's deliverance. There's freedom from all the oppression and depression and all the entanglement of the enemy. There's great freedom at the table of the Lord. Whatever you need has been provided. Philippians 4:19. You know, a lot of people use this as in reference to money, but I'm telling you, it's all your need. All your need. It says, but my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. It's not just money. Whatever you need, it's on the table of the Lord. God prepares a table before us. The table is in front of us. The enemy is behind us. He prepares us a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Yeah, the enemy's there. He's still talking to us. He's still telling us that it's not going to work out. He reminds us of all that we've done to fail, how we've blown it, how that we've missed the mark. The enemy brings up all those things of the past, but if we've repented of them, then the Father's heart says, I don't even know what you're talking about. That's repentance. And He offers true forgiveness. He's promised never to bring it up of remembrance against us again. And so, what's on the table that God has prepared for you? Anything and everything you need from the time you're born again until you step off into eternity. And hallelujah, it never runs out. He never runs dry. Psalm 107:1 says, for the Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Never runs out. Just pull up to the table and eat. And so, what's on the table that God's prepared for us is not going to do us any good until we partake of it. So partake of what is on the table. And I tell you, there are specific name cards that God has inscribed Himself. Your name at the table of the Lord. Your placement at His table. Just pull up and eat. Partake of the goodness. Partake of His mercy. Partake of His healing. And partake of the presence of the host. Partake of the glory of our host, the Lord Jesus. Luke, you come on up. I felt led of the Lord this evening that as we worship, as we worship this evening, to close out, I believe that the Word of the Lord is going to be sealed by this worship. And I believe that in God's presence, as Luke ushers us in and God uses him for that, that there's just going to be some things that are going to fall off. And God is going to help us. We're going to mount up in worship. He's going to gird us up so that we can come up. He's going to invite us to come up to the table of the Lord. And by faith, you can reach the table of the Lord tonight. I want you to say this out loud with me. Say, the Lord prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Believe that with all your heart. Now, in the very presence of all your enemies, keep your eyes on the table. Keep your eyes on the provision that's made through the blood of the Lord Jesus. Keep your eyes on the host. You see who has set the table, and heed His invitation to come and dine. And so, to come and dine, the table of the Lord is the destination at the end of the invitation to come up. Just to feast at His table. Again, this is the season of shaking, where God's shaking stuff off of His body for refining. In worship tonight, allow the Lord just to shake the stuff off of you. true worship, in true worship, we're going to mount up. He'll gird us up as we worship so that we can come up. Let's stand and worship together.